Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
To start the sermon today, my heart going into this was pretty heavy because I was dealing with some, basically, the evils of this world. Some things that we can't ever avoid, but we never want to confront. And I don't want to say that I was happy during it, because that would be really weird. But it was an experience, and it made me explore the options and the what God actually did save us from. And it's during that that I wanted, that it really, God spoke and showed me where he is in all of this, where he is in our pains, where he is in our struggles. And for Christians, we're definitely not immune to experiencing these evils, but we do have someone who saves us from it. And that's what Jesus did for us. It's the promise that he will see us through to it, that we can endure during, and he'll be there with us all the way through the end. And the reality of this world is that there will always be something to overcome, some evil to face, and it does no good to ignore it or to deny it. The best thing we can do is to confront that, but not with just our own strength, but with what God gives us for it. Our faith as Christians implores us not to ignore these evils or to ignore the pain, but it gives us the strength that we can endure it. In our humanity that we are weak, needing this saving, and think we can handle the unknowns of this life without somebody. That's our humanity side of it, but that's just delusional. It's insane to think we can, because every time we try, we fail. We end up hurting ourselves worse, hurting those around us, making it more the obvious that we need the Savior. And our faith is rooted in knowing that despite whatever our struggles are in, whatever we are having pains in, God is there with us, through everything, in everything, working in it, working through us, to strengthen us for his purpose. We don't have to endure it alone because Jesus is right there with it, enduring with us while also having conquered it at the same time. But this morning, it's going to be a little more of an obscure sermon of mine. It's not purely exegetical from a single passage, but it's more of a walkthrough. It's more of an exploration of what the Bible tells us during all of this. The overview is we have a God. We have a God who hears us when we call to him. We know that our trials are not struggled through in vain. There's a reason for it. And we can find the strength and encouragement to endure it with Jesus by our side. This is shown in how we can stay obedient to him, even when faced with the hardships, even when obedience seems impossible, or we just rather would not. We can choose to rely on God through this, but when our emotions are hot, when we're in the middle of the moment, we lose sight of that. We forget he's there, or rather we just don't believe it, considering the evils that we're dealing with. But those thoughts, those questions is what we're going to be tackling today. With the first portion of this passage coming from Psalms 34, 17 through 18. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirits. And we can stop right there. The Lord hears you. The Lord hears us. It might not mean much, but to know that the God of everything, the God who created everything we see, the sovereign of all of the laws that rule what we experience on a day-to-day, that is so menial to him, he hears us. He listens to us. So many arguments and so many relationships can be healed just by someone listening to the other. And that's what God does for us. He hears us. He is there with us on the side. And again, it might not sound like much. And every time I hear this, God hears you, I think of the late Dr. Vodi Bakum when he says, have you thought of the alternative? The alternative being a God who ignores you, a God who is absent through everything. It may not make the trouble easier knowing he is there, but he's listening. He hears you. He is there. What this means on our part, though, is we need to be honest with our struggles. We need to be transparent with our own selves, with what we are struggling with. We can't expect to push down our troubles and it be done with, ignore it. It's like, I'm not dealing with that. then it bubbles right back up. No, not today. It bubbles back up, and then it explodes. We all live through that. We all know that. So we can't. It does no good to ignore it or lie about it. Being honest that something is wrong, that we are hurting, is that first step to the fix, to that healing. It's an acknowledgement that we can't handle these problems on our own, but it begs the question of where that help comes from. We know that it comes from God, but being lost in the moment, we sometimes forget it, or even with the hurt, we doubt. If God hears us, why are we hurting? But that doubt is normal. It's a typical response of humans. It's the pressures of the world, and it makes us easy to fall to those lies, easy to fall to the doubt, to believe that we are alone when the truth is we're not. It makes us question if God is there, because like I said, if God is there, if God is here in this, why is it even happening in the first place? If he is so good, why is there so much evil in this world? But to answer that, we have to go back to the very beginning, chapter 1. We are suffering in this because humans, the first humans, decided they wanted what they wanted instead of what God wanted. They introduced sin into this world that created that chasm that tore us from that perfect relationship, that perfect sense of just being that God wanted us to have with him. And now we hurt for it. And now we suffer from it day by day by day. And it's that seed of doubt that Adam and Eve suffered from. Did God really say that? Oh, if you eat that fruit, will he really die? That little question. We have these similar questions too. It's like you're hurting, you feel alone. It's like, is God really there? Did God really hear you? It's a scary thought. It's a scary question. But questions that come up, and does no good to ignore them, the existence of that doubt. But this doubt doesn't disprove our faith. It doesn't mean that we are lacking any faith, but it's how we respond to that doubt. It's a blatant challenge to our faith on its face. Those challenges to our faith can result us in abandoning it, leaving it, looking for elsewhere to find some means to deal with what we are suffering with. But instead of abandoning the answer to it, that being God, we should use God to challenge what it is we're dealing with. We're not here by ourselves. We're not here just to suffer alone. What God's working through us is sanctification. It's his process. It's a growing pains. We are broken creatures that need to be healed. But part of that growth, it's a very painful process. That leads us to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. And you rejoice in this, even though for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there is purpose. There is a reason we are going through this. It's not just some sadistic ruler or some little child with a magnifying glass on ants just watching them pop. It's not the purpose of it. Our trials and hardships prove what we believe in. It strips away what fails us, all of the false truths that we so long to cling to in our humanity. But God pulls it away. And that pulling it away is a very painful thing if we allow him to even try it in the first place. There's a willingness that we have to allow it for it. But that pain is what we're struggling with. That pain is that allowance. But it is still quite possible to endure it. These hardships not only reveal God to us in the moment, but they also reveal our true character. There's that old saying goes that adversity doesn't build character as much as it reveals it. So how do you know if you have faith if you've never tried it? How do you know you believe if it was never questioned? How do you know what you believe if you never doubted it? If faith is not challenged, how can you know it to be true? That tried and true faith we have in God is what he finds precious. Just as Peter explained to us there. Suffering in silence doesn't do anybody any good. But suffering just for the sake of suffering also is, well, it's rather masochist. There's a reason for it. It's a growing pains. The pain is real, and I'm not telling you to ignore it. It's a matter of embracing it. It's a matter of recognizing it, what it is in reality. It's God is growing in you. God is growing you so that your faith grows, so that you rely on Him during this. When faced with challenges, there are several ways that you can respond. And we've all lived this in some shape or manner. Something comes up in life that is painful. You try to avoid it. You run from it. Or you ignore it. You turn to the world for the fleeting, I don't want to call it pleasures, but it's definitely not painful. Whether it be in a drink, whether it be in an injection, whether it be in an inhale, whether it be something you swallow. It's all of this just avoids what God can be doing in your life. And no matter what you do to avoid, it's never enough, because the pain comes back once you get back into reality. One bottle is never enough. One pill is never enough. One smoke is never enough. But God is enough for that. Some seek answers even in the spiritual side of it, which they're a little closer on the mark there, because the physical world is what's hurting them. So why turn to the physical to find relief? But they miss it for the main purpose of it. They're looking for the forest, but they miss the trees, or however that euphemism goes. I'm never good with that one. Seeing pain as something, they see pain as something to ignore, not to embrace, not as a growth opportunity. You have entire religions around that. Nirvana, the state of never feeling. Sounds bland. Sounds just existing. It's not what God wanted for us. He didn't want us to not feel anything. He wanted us to feel the joys of the creation He created. Why He put us there in the first place. Why He put us in the Garden of Eden in the first place. But the sin destroyed that. So while we're still in this odd enigma of paradise yet not, that's where our suffering lives. In here, but not yet. So people looking to those spirituals, that spiritual realm for answers, they're looking for reasons for that hurt. They're looking for reasons why it does hurt in this world. They're looking for any means to cope, just like we all do. But the coping should not be found in this realm or anything that we can create in our minds, because that's what God only can do for us. So when you're struggling with those pains, some questions you could even ask yourself to help seeing that purpose. What is God working in me? What is God trying to reveal? What is it that God is trying to save me from? Shift it instead of what you're dealing with to what God can be doing or may be doing. Maybe surprised with what He reveals to you. And what it comes down to then is how receptive we are to these trials, how receptive we are to pain. There needs to be that conscious decision when faced with the hardships to see the way that God sees those, or the way that God can be using them, instead of narrowing it just to how we are experiencing it in the moment. It's always the bigger picture. But is everything that we are suffering with caused by something we did? Is there some sin in our life that we are being punished for? Is there some doubt in our life that God is working in us to overcome? Probably not. Because then that, you know, victim mentality of it is like, oh, this is your fault because you did this. This world sucks. That's what it comes down to. Sometimes we just suffer through it to suffer through it, but God's there with us. He is still building our faith in it, no matter what reason it is there in the first place. The reason is because God is there, and we need to have that faith He is working in it. But that's where we're stuck in. We're stuck in that middle of saved but not yet. While we're still in these bodies, we suffer because of that inherited sin. But God uses it for the benefit. Admittedly, this still doesn't make it any easier. Pain does not get easier to hold knowing that there's a reason. Oh, I broke my arm, but it hurts so bad. Oh, but I broke it, so I mean, that makes sense. Doesn't make sense. Broken bone still hurts no matter if you know the reason or not. You're hurting inside because of something you may have did, something you may have said, but that doesn't make it any easier, or that God's working in you so you trust in Him and more doesn't make it easier to deal with. But the comfort comes in knowing that Jesus not only experienced that before us, but he conquered all of that for us as well. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then verse 7, endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons, for what son is there that a father does not discipline? So we're creatures that just don't like discomfort too. There's that reality of it. Yes, pain, we like to avoid pain, but we also, not just for the sake of trying to not do anything lazy, we just don't like discomfort. We want to be comfortable where we're at, that immediate, easy gratification of it. I mean, look at our phones nowadays. It's a quick button push. You get whatever dopamine high you're looking for, or whatever game you're looking for, media, news. It's all at the touch of your button or fingertips. But these fixations are shown to us so that we can purposely remove them and follow what God wants us to follow in his name. And how would we know, though, what it is that hinders us, like the author of Hebrews says, where we're called to lay aside what is keeping us from him. But how are we to know that unless it's thrown in our face? It's a painful reality to be shown our faults, our failures, why we need a Savior. And we could fixate on, oh, I'm hurting now because I need this or because I need somebody to save me, instead of there is already a Savior. Somebody already came to take care of that, and now you just have to acknowledge the fact you need to give it up so you can follow him. And that's where God comes in, treating us as his sons, as his children. Some trials then show us how we can be better for God, how we can be better children of him. He is developing us as part of the sanctification. He is developing us to be his, taking us as damaged and as pure as we are and working us to the perfection that he has, that he is, that he has for us, envisions for us. And I can't think of a better example of what the author in Hebrews is showing than that attentive father for his children. You know the fathers in someone's life because of how well-behaved the child is. I'm not trying to discount moms in this because, I mean, in our household, I'm definitely not the disciplinarian. I'm the enforcer for some of it, but I'm working on that. But you definitely know the parents who are there and the parents who are not because of how the children are. And if we're to call ourselves children of God, then we should expect that God, Father, is going to be there. Sometimes in a good way. Sometimes in a, you need to fix this. For some of you who may or may not know, I was in the military for some time. The training part of it was very grueling, very tough for the running, as you can tell. I'm not a runner. I stopped running the second they didn't make me anymore. And there are several memories in there, and they're very poignant and very applicable to what we're talking about here. Every morning, afternoon, evening, we would be running. Run, 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 run. And this is for Navy people, you would think, they're in the water. Why are they running? We run. But there's always something that sticks to my mind that our drill instructor would yell at us. We're already like near the 5 mile, 6 mile, whatever, mark in it. I lost count after the first two. But he's always yelling at us to keep going. It's like, this is where you build endurance. We're all ready to give up. We're all ready to just lay down, take a nap, get breakfast, whatever. We're ready to stop. But he's telling us to keep going. And it's when you're wanting to stop, but where you are pushed to keep going is where endurance is built. It's where it's made. It's where it's practiced. And that's how our faith is like. You don't know how strong your faith is until you put it to the test. You can't have a strong faith until it is put to the test. You can't trust God until you suffer through something, until something is taken away, and then your trust is tested. And with my drill instructor, though, he was tough, and we weren't doing it just out of fear. It wasn't a, don't hurt me. We did it out of a respect. He's the type of guy that when he said jump, we were asking how high, how many times, do I bring my knees up? Please, sir, might I have another? We were doing that because we respected him as not just telling us what to do, but showing us. He lived it. For every mile he ran, he was several steps in front of us leading the way. So for that, we respected him and did our best to keep up. Couldn't always, but just like life, we have Jesus who pioneered the path. He's the one who perfected the faith. He's the one in front of us, miles ahead, yelling at us, this is where you build endurance. Keep going. So God puts us through those trials so we can better serve him. But it's not just the trials by themselves, because Jesus already handled it. Jesus already did it. But our trials is for our benefits. And it's also to show, almost as if God trusting us with it. Before Job, one of the more famous sufferers from the Bible, before he went through a struggle, God proudly talked about his servant. When Satan, in front of God, bragged about venturing the earth, going from there to there and just seeing everything, God challenged him, saying, have you considered my servant? It's like, that sounds like a proud father to me that says, look at my kid. Look at what he did. Look at this guy. God's trusting us with the trial so we can trust him through it. And the irony of it is, like, you may have heard that old saying, another interesting, not necessarily that old, but God does not give you more than you can handle. I emphatically disagree with that. There are many things in this world that God gives us that we are suffering through that we are not meant to handle alone, that we cannot handle alone, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, none of it by ourselves. But the good news is we're not alone. I mean, I'm looking out here right now. I'm seeing several people. I know I'm not alone. I'm blessed beyond the stage. I'm not saying to come up here and look out there. You could look to your left, look to your right. You could see everybody there. You're not alone either. Physically, you're not alone. Spiritually, you're not alone. Emotionally, you're not alone. But that's the test of faith. Can you trust the person next to you with what you're hurting with? Can you trust God with what you're hurting with? And more important than that, just that trust, is what we do with that trust. James reminds us in James chapter 2, verse 18 through 19, but some of you will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I'll show you faith by my works. You believe that God is one. Good. Even demons believe and they shudder. Knowledge means little. Faith means little if there is no compelling to action. It's pointless if your faith is not enticing you to strive to obey in every way that you can. Even in the moment of pain, your focus should be obedience, because your trust is in somebody who hasn't left you. So in the moment of pain, your trust is tested, your faith is put to the ringer, so you can stay obedient. And this isn't to confuse anything by saying we need to gain our place through what we do. It's not our faith or the amount of faith, how much we do in our faith, that God says, yeah, you're there now. Because he already gifted us with that. We are already there, and that's where our faith is being put into. This is a saying that we have faith. We're gifted our place by God, so it should show in our behavior. We should believe we are already with God because of what Jesus did, so our actions should show it. You can say you love your neighbor, but then hide from them and stare at them through the blinds when they come to your door. You can say you're forgiving, but while driving and that one person cuts you off and you show him how number one he is. It's not very forgiving. You can say you care for a stranger until somebody interrupts you on your busy errands asking for help, and you just say, I don't have time for this. You could say you have faith in God, but when the world is falling apart around you, how do you respond? Words only mean anything when they have actions that match those words. How we act while being challenged with adversity reveals the strength of our faith and endurance of our character. When times get tough, those are the moments when our faith in God can really shine to show God's strength in our weaknesses. And Jesus even taught about that same actions meeting faith in Matthew chapter 5 when he talked about loving your enemy. It's really easy to love somebody who's nice to you. It's really nice to be kind to somebody who is kind. But what if they're nasty? It's easy to help others when it's convenient, but if it hurts you, not so much. It's easy to give when you have much, but what if you're barely surviving? It's easy to have faith that God loves you when everything's going great, when life is good. But what in the moment of your pain? Trials and these hardships are very tangible and real moments when our faith is tested and when our trust in that faith is put into actions. Speaking in theory and sharing hypotheticals, staying in the safe space, it's easy to talk about how God loves us and how we should show that to others, but that world is not safe out there. That world out there is not the world in here. We come here to get encouragement and to help deal with whatever the world has out there, but that's not just to stay in here. That's so that we can be rebuilt, re-strengthened, encouraged to bring it out there. Now, we can finally get into the sermon. That's a lot of groundwork. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We take every thought captive to obey Christ. It does a little without of context, so let's look at the verses 3 and 4 before that as well. For although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. Since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against our knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. This is a better sense of how forceful we need to be in our moments of hurt. It's not just a simple, oh, there's that thought that comes up, but this is what God says. It's not that easy. And I'm not going to come up here and stand here saying it's like, oh, I do this every day. It's like, I do it every minute. This is not something that is natural to us. This is not something that we even want to do as humans. But in our obedience, it's something that we must. We strive for it. We practice it. And I'm not a fan of breaking down words for the most part, but I want to look at that word captive. And this isn't just a simple illustration of like a little game of capture the flag or freeze tag where it's like you're grabbing somebody and it's like, oh, that was easy. Yeah, next one. This is war. This is a full-on war. And for those who haven't experienced it, it is not a pleasant, easy thing. It is struggle after struggle, fight after fight. But it's not in the physical realm. This is in the battlefield of our minds, of our souls, thoughts, everything inside of us. But those thoughts that we feed, those thoughts that we encourage then, turn into actions. Thinking this is anything less weakens our defenses and actually gives the adversaries that foothold. It's like, oh, you don't always have to be vigilant. Don't always be careful of what you're thinking. That doesn't matter. You're fine with that one. It's not what we're saying here. Because even Satan knows, those doubting thoughts is how he gets in. So one weak moment is when he's got his little foot in the door. The next thing you know, he's got a leg, then his arm. The next thing you know, he's all the way in. Before you know it, you invited him in completely. From one thought. And these aren't easy because they're impulsive. Sometimes these thoughts are very impulsive to us, and I'm just like many of you. I'm very impulsive when it comes to certain things that happen. I'm asking a question at home, the first thing I say is no. I don't want to do it. No, you want to buy that? No. You want that? No. You want to go? No. I want to stay home. But give it some time. I actually think about it for a moment, and I'm like, well, it's not so bad. But that's our impulse as humans, is to let Satan get that foothold, to let that adversary in and corrupt our thoughts. So we can't allow him that opportunity. That's where this is a war. It is a war to keep our minds and thoughts always on what God teaches us. Sometimes those thoughts come in. That's fine. Not saying they're in and you failed. They thought came in. Cool. Now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to indulge it? Are you going to explore it? No, you're going to subjugate it. Ah, that's the word. We're going to keep this. We're going to pull this down to Christ. It's like, you think that? And that's not what Jesus says. That is not what I am told. But it takes practice. It's not some flip switch you can flip. Oh, turn on the lights. Oh, Jesus is here. Turn them off. Ah, where'd he go? It's not that quick. And you shouldn't think it's going to be that easy, too. It's a daily struggle. Every time, every painful moment that comes in, that's just a chance to try. If you can think about it. I jumped ahead on that one. But those feelings, those emotional responses, those impulsive desires are very strong. It's a strong will that we need to have when it comes to controlling our thoughts, to take captive our immediate responses, how we want to respond to how God teaches us we should respond. But it's practice, and it's a matter of not just challenging the thoughts, but how are you challenging it? We challenge it with what God teaches us. In our pains, when we are filled with feelings of abandonment, we challenge that loneliness with the truth that God is still with us and he hears our pains. When we feel lost, like there's just zero hope, where there's no strength to go on, we challenge that with the knowledge that God is working in that moment and that that he will see us through to it. We may not be able to do it ourselves, but he will pull us through it. When we feel we can't go on, we know that Jesus has already done it and conquered it in front of us. And that's the courage we find just to take that next step. Then another, then another. And I don't mean this to be a lecture on feeling pain, thinking we're alone, unable to take that next step. Like, it is okay to not feel like that. It is okay to feel lost. It is okay to hurt. It is okay to think you're not able to go on. So, I mean, in essence, I'm telling you, it's okay to not be okay. But what's not okay is to stay there. That's where you need to find that strength to keep going. That's where you find, how do you take that next step? Where is that next step coming from? And as Christians, we have that. Or I should say, we've accepted that. Everybody has that calling. Everybody is being called to Jesus. Everybody is being called to not be alone in this. But if you don't act on it, does that mean there's a weak faith? When it comes to Peter, or when it comes to something like that, I consider Peter, who demonstrated his faith when he walked out on the water in the middle of the storm. Did he lose all of his faith and can be considered faithless when he got distracted by the waves and started drowning? I don't think so. Because the moment when he was about to be pulled under, in that horrors of that moment of that storm, he called out to the only one who could save him. In your drowning, in your pain, are you intentionally looking for Jesus in the storm? Or are you trying to find some way for you to try to swim out yourself? Faith is not proven because you never tremble, or because you're not scared, or because you're not hurting. Faith is proven that when the trembling believer still reaches out to Jesus. We still cry out to God in our moments of pain. We still obey His word even when we don't want to. And we still bring every fearful thought to that subjugative captivity of Jesus. We can easily lose ourselves in the pains of the moment, losing sight on the light because of the shadows being so dark. The evils of this world are very engulfing. But we don't have to take it alone. And we don't have to think we're just suffering for the sake of suffering. We are in this moment because God is working in us. He is molding us. He is refining us to what He wants us to be. We can see ourselves lost from God, but we need to remember that He did not abandon us, that our suffering is not void of His purposes, and to strengthen our faith and build reliance on Him in the moment. It's how you respond to those painful moments is what defines you. When we think we can't go on, He's there encouraging us. And when we think we cannot respond to these painful moments as lost souls, but as people filled with hope that this will pass, we stay obedient to what He has called us to and for. It requires intentionality. We can't just haphazardly go through life and just like willy-nilly and like kind of live through it. You have to be intentional. Where is your mind in this? Where is your heart in this? And trials show you where your heart is, where your mind is. It'll be the most difficult thing you can do, but you can do it. And it can, and it has already been done in Jesus. We do it through Him and with Him. It is your faith in His perfected work that will see you through any pain you're dealing with now, tomorrow, month from now, year from now, or in an unknown time, as we're about to study in Revelation. It's not going to be a painful process. It's not going to be something a normal person would want to go through. But God trusts us. We should trust God. Our faith is in Him, and He won't fail us. We should take every chance to challenge our thoughts, question our emotions, and see where God is making that opportunity for Him to reveal Himself to you and through you. It's going to be a painful time. It's not going to be pleasant, but God's always working through us. But it's a matter of where you're intentionally thinking. Where are you intentionally working? And if you practice that intentionality, if you practice that challenging all of your thoughts to what God teaches you, you'll be surprised with how He works through you, because I can promise you He will work through you and you will be rewarded for it. Dave.
Not sure what your fears are today, what your weakness is, but it begins by letting it be known. If you have decisions to make, you can make them privately, sure, but when you make them before God and before His people, there's no judging. But there's strong encouragement and accountability that begins to help you with strength to navigate that which you're facing. And it could be that you've made a private profession of faith in Jesus Christ. We invite you this morning to come and make it a public profession of faith in Christ, as Pastor mentioned earlier. The beginning of the service. Whatever decision, you are welcome here as we sing.
I should come to Thee. finding my voice. As a church, we have a lot to be grateful for. We have seen God work day in and day out through individuals here, through life circumstances, even in the hurt and the sorrow, we have still found God. And we continue to pray. We continue to pray for everyone here. We're all in different places in life. We're all in different places in our journey with Christ. But we come together as one, as a body of Christ. And we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit and by the sheer dumb luck that we have as a human race. God still loves us. And God still is on his throne and he reigns. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on up, brother. This is LaVon Wallace. He's been attending for some time here, and he seeks to be baptized. And so I'm going to grill him till he doesn't want to anymore. And we'll be in touch. We'll be talking about that, and then we'll talk about what we do from there. So we look forward to that. Rick, again, good to see you here, brother. Good to see you. Pastor Rob, thank you for your message this morning. Very poignant, very good. Thank you. God is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, for the decisions, for the way that you have moved through this congregation today, for the way that you always move and the way that brings us to our knees sometimes. But Lord, you've called us to listen. You've called us to be faithful. You've called us to be your children. And so, Lord, as we leave here today, I pray that we see the opportunities that lie before us and that we take advantage of those as we minister to one another, as we deal with the hard stuff. But to come to the realization that when we deal with those hard things, we don't have to do it alone. In fact, we know that we don't do it alone because you are always with us. So thank you, Lord, for that. Because in all these things that we deal with, the number one thing is that you get the glory and that you will be praised. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and that you love us. And all of God's people said, amen. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you soon.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.